guys, welcome to episode 133 of Inside the Cage. Fuck you, you big lanky bastard.
I had to do it.
We were just having a discussion because I keep messing that up, but done it right this week, so get up you, Mark. Get up you.
You had to listen to last week's show to find out how you did it, though, didn't you?
Fuck off. yes, as we are back with you guys again. Missed last week, unfortunately, just things didn't work out, family stuff. So back to review 270 and that. How are you, mate? How's your week and a half or 2 weeks since we spoke?
Oh, good, mate. I'm just plodding on. Nothing too special, but yeah, your wee weekend away, good.
Yeah, good.
Plenty of whiskey, plenty of beer.
Hunters of beer, man. Like, hunters it.
That's what you do these things for. You're away for a birthday as well, so it's even more drink going to be had.
Hunters of whiskey as well, which is good, so... Yeah, it was really good. Really enjoyed it. It was good to be away.
Good, I'm glad. Need these e-breaks now and again. Especially this early in the year.
That's true. That's
2 weeks out of the year and you're fucking off the weekend already, man. That's just not right.
Shocking, isn't it?
It's really bad, mate.
Fuck off. But
anyway. What? You've got to have a wee dig here. Come on. I didn't get a weekend away, did I?
No. That's not my problem, mate. How's things with you? Been busy?
Not really, mate, honestly. It's been pretty quiet, if I'm honest. Plodding on, as I say, and just getting on with things. And I think the football's been my highlight the last couple of weeks, apart from that.
I guess you're actually playing well for a change.
We've been doing alright all season, I'll have you know.
I know.
So, I beat Airdrie on Saturday, so I can't complain. I'm happy. Beat that mob, so.
You hate Airdrie.
Didn't get involved in the fighting afterwards anyway, either.
Is that what happened?
There's scrapping outside the stadium. There's scrapping before the game as well, so.
I did see police and all that that were involved, but.
I've seen a few videos here and there as well, man. It's just, they are what they are, but there we go.
I just don't understand. I just don't get it, man. I really don't understand why you would go to football to try and fight somebody, man. I just don't get it. But maybe just built different.
That's what it is, mate. I think these people just want to do that for a bit of fun. That's how they get their jollies, isn't it? So.
Yeah, sounds like it.
They'd have fighting at the football and we'd fight on Saturday night, so I was all fought out on Sunday, to be honest.
You were fighting on Saturday night?
I was always the fighting on Saturday night.
Oh, yeah, sorry, the fighting, yeah. Hunter's it going on.
Oh, mate, it was mental, what a night, but, what a night. So, it was good. How's your wee trip to here on Saturday? Years as well for her, man, you still drinking these days, have you?
I know, alcoholic, mate. Yeah, it was good. Good. I've been to Somerset with you before, but it was something else, man, to see it like properly packed. When we went, it was in the Thistle, weren't exactly the most well-travelled team in the world.
It was like Tuesday night in the middle of winter, but it was absolutely fucking Baltic.
Baltic, man. But we had 2,000 down with us, and it was amazing, mate. It was proper good. Proper football ground. Like, listen, I'm all for the big, fancy 60,000-seaters, you know, that are comfortable and all that stuff, right? And to be honest, I'd probably pick... either or. I wouldn't say I have a favourite, but there is just something about a stadium like that that is
the best away day in Scottish football.
I can't disagree. I've not been to many. I've only been to a few with you, and I've done like one myself. It's something I'm trying to tick off the bucket list. But doing it with your own team and with that many supporters, total different atmosphere. Like the singing's louder, the people are talking. I don't know. It totally felt totally different from sitting at Love Street, or sorry, St Mun Park. So
the standard makes a massive difference. It always does and always does.
I can't believe how much a difference it makes. Like,
it's mental, mate.
Even when we stand at Hampden for Scotland games, right, it doesn't feel anything like that did on Saturday. And it wasn't as if I was crammed in. I'm not that massive on crowds. So I like to stand away, but not like totally away. But we were standing on a barrier, like ourselves, but with people next to us, but there was nobody, there wasn't like pure jammed, but yet it still felt just class, man. It was brilliant. I do agree, though, it's definitely one of the top away days. And
people could never understand at one point why I didn't want to get Thistle promoted in the top leagues, and I think just the atmosphere and the kind of general vibe of the lower leagues is just so much better than going to these grounds in the Premiership for me, to be honest. And that's what the one thing I hated about the Premiership was these stupid, I say stupid, these big grounds and all that, and it just seems a bit soulless in certain places.
You and I are going completely off tangent here. You and I should do a football podcast, to be honest.
See, if we had time in the week, we would do one as well. You know that for a fact.
That's true. That's true. You've got Dundee United, we've got Celtic Hearts, that'll be good.
Oh mate, Celtic, I'd actually rather go to your game, I think, just to see Celtic Hearts, but there you go. But good, I fancy our chances, so we'll see.
Oh, fuck you. There you go. Right. That's enough of that.
Anyway, shall we get on with this? Because yes, that's the we've even mentioned fucking 270.
I know. And that was the thing. Somebody, I think it was Gemma had listened, the wife had listened to the first, she listened to a couple of podcasts just to listen to us. And she said, you talk some amount of shite at the start. And I went,
well, yeah, you people,
I think we've just broke a record, mate. Anyway, shut up. Right. So, following the usual pattern, guys, we'll have a look back at the weekend previous, so UFC 270. We would have a look at UFC for the weekend coming, but there isn't any, so we'll have a look at Bellator, do a wee bit on that. Eagle are also making their USA debut. We'll have a wee kind of swatch at that. And then Mark will finish with news and fight announcements and the usual stuff. So following the usual format for this week anyway. So let's dive head first straight into it. And probably the most un-pay-per-view feeling pay-per-view ever, I think. It didn't feel like a pay-per-view to me.
How do you mean on pay-per-view feeling pay-per-view? Well, just because of the fights before the two main events, basically?
I don't know, mate. I just kind of didn't think it was very... I didn't feel very pay-per-view-y to me for some reason.
But the fight for the biggest, baddest man in the face of the planet, wasn't it? And the weeest baddest man on the planet, I suppose you could say.
I know, but... Like, even those fights, like, okay, don't get me wrong, right, the flyweight title fight was the best fight on the card. It was fucking amazing, right? It was insane. But Ngannou Gan was disappointing from a couple of aspects, and I think that kind of, I don't know, I wasn't pure massively buzzed before, and I wasn't pure buzzing after that. I watched it and it was class, but I don't know, I just...
Ngannou Gan was a strange one. I think we all maybe expected a certain thing from Ngannou. Or from Gan, and we never in any way, shape or form expected really what happened to happen in the end. I think it went a wee bit flat towards the end of the fight because it seemed so one-sided in the end, let's be honest. Like, and Gan just seemed to get Gan in his back, and I felt like Gan was lost. They didn't have a clue, and I think that kind of took that wee edge out of it, especially after the Figueiredo Moreno fight, which was, again, a fight of year contender. Like, that's 3 years in a row they've had fight of year contenders, do you know what I mean? And for me, you should be a fourth by the end of the year, but we'll get to that. Whereas the Ngannou Gan one, I think, as I said, because of the way it went in the end, you'd expected Ngannou to come out straight away, probably first round, maybe second round, get that knockout. And if he didn't do that, you probably expected Ngannou to maybe take over the fight and maybe wearing Ngannou down and maybe get a finish towards the end or a submission or even win it comfortably on points. I think what happened on Saturday night, Ngannou coming out, winning the first two rounds probably for me, and then Ngannou just basically taking over for the next three rounds and just going on and winning a points decision. But that was a bit flat. That was a weird, weird ending to the night for me as well. It just didn't seem... it was weird.
It was very strange, that fight. Like, you've just explained that there with Gan winning the first two rounds and Ngannou winning another three. It should have been the other way around.
Exactly. I think that's what everybody expected. And because you expected Ngannou to come out swinging and just fucking start firing shots off and trying to hit Gan as hard as a face as he could. And don't get me wrong, he had a few attempts. But Gan's movement was pretty good the first couple of rounds. And they didn't really catch him at all in the first couple of rounds. And it was as if Ngannou's actually used his fight IQ and went, well, I've been working on that. Let's go and take that into the fight and see if Ngannou can actually get up for his back. He got up a couple of times, but Ngannou, he's a monster on the feet. When he's lying on top of you, I bet he's an even fucking bigger monster.
He must have been about 270 in there, 275.
He must have been the best part of 20 stone, which is what 280, 275, 280, right. Something like that, yep. About there. He was fucking massive, mate. And that lying on top of you, I know big Cyril Gant is a big boy. He's not got the muscular strength. He's not got the... He's a strong boy, obviously, but he doesn't have that.
Doesn't have the power.
Aye. And Gant looks like he's strong. Big Gant probably doesn't look like he looks strong, if you know what I mean.
Simple yes or no question for you, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, the answer will be simple yes or no, but the explanation after will not be simple. Yeah. Did Gan turn up
I think at times, yes, I think it was a weird one, I think, at certain points. I don't know. I felt like Ngan was just not Ngan. Ngan, fuck's sake, man, I did my tits on. Was a bit taken aback. Maybe the personal side of things got a wee bit too much for him, and he didn't perform maybe the best of his ability. I was so surprised that he couldn't get up really at any point during some of the rounds, or he couldn't manoeuvre Ngannou into a certain position maybe to pull off some missions, because we know that Gan has got them in his locker and his arsenal as such, and that never happened.
We don't know necessarily if he's got it from his back. This is the thing, mate. Nobody's put him on his back, so it's a difficult thing. I just don't know. I just felt as if Gan never really turned up, mate. That was my personal feeling. My feeling was that it was so...
I watched quite a few things over the week. I watched UFC Unfiltered, the YouTube thing they're doing, stuff like that, and the videos, and I watched the press conference as well, and it was at times I was looking at it, I felt like Gan was just far too personally involved in the fight with him. It was just, he wasn't personally involved in as an anger. I felt like he was trying to be friends with Ngannou far too much. He was trying to be too nice. It was too many nice comments about him at certain times. And I'm just like, man, this is a fight at the end of the day. This is a fight between apparently the two biggest, baddest guys on the face of this earth.
Apparently.
And he was just almost too nice for me at times. And it was just that bad. I was like, oh, really, man? Like, and then obviously we got the outcome that we did. And I'm like, well, maybe my initial thoughts were right after the Unfiltered videos and stuff like that. And the press conference, that he was just too personally involved in it.
It was just a bit disappointing.
It was very disappointing, mate. I love Cyril Gann. I think he's a fucking sensational mixed martial artist.
Yes, we know.
And now, fuck's sake, Big Frank has proven the exact same fucking thing, to be honest.
Yeah, Big Frank was... I think that was probably the most surprising thing. I don't know if Gann necessarily not turning up was a surprise. I think there's always that risk with somebody who's not the champ. But that version of Ngannou, I don't think anybody predicted that. You could have predicted Gan not turning up and Ngannou smashing him. You could maybe have predicted, you know, Gan not turning up and Ngannou, like, maybe outscoring him punches wise, like boxing, but nobody would have predicted Ngannou dry humping Gan for three rounds. Like, just no way, mate.
It was the technical aspect of the takedowns as well at times. They were so technical. They were
that
so
one, that big slam, that was nuts, man.
Mate, that was sensational. To slam a guy like that, who's probably the best part of the 19 stone as well, man, a fucking octagon must have been, whoa, what the fuck's going on here?
Yeah.
About like Ben, my Big Show get fucking smashed through the fucking ring in WWE all the years ago.
Him and Mark Henry, remember?
I was fucking mental. That's the kind of feeling you go there. But, it's so disappointing. I think Big Cyril just, as you say, maybe he just didn't turn up at the end. Maybe he just wasn't good enough. Maybe I'm totally wrong in my initial thoughts. Maybe Ngannou is the best heavyweight mixed martial artist on the planet.
Maybe possibly
wrong. You know what I mean? So, but we'll wait and see if he's even going to be there next week, if he's going to be the champion at the end of the...
Well, this leads me on to my next thing. Just personally for me, the whole attitude of Dana White is disgusting. The fact that Dana wouldn't put the belt on him and he had to send up Mick Maynard, I think is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah,
I think it's petty as fuck from a guy who runs the company and is supposed to be the guy. You know, he's one of the biggest guys in combat sports, Dana White. Now, you know, he's up there with your Eddie Hearns and all that stuff. He's up there without a doubt. But it's just petulant for me, mate, and I just don't like it. And you want to be a professional organisation and show people that you're a professional organisation. Don't do stupid shit like that. Don't just not go in the ring because it's Ngannou. If things maybe haven't went well between him and Ngannou, that's fine. But from a professional point of view, you're the face of the company. You are the guy. You're Mr. UFC. And you've just went, nah, no thanks. I don't want to put a belt on him. It's disgusting, mate. The whole thing.
I wasn't a great look. I was a bit surprised when I seen Dana wasn't in the octagon at the end of the fight. I'm like, what the fuck's that all about?
See, first, right? I thought maybe it was some celebrity or something. I didn't actually recognise that it was Mickey Maynard first.
I thought it was a sponsor's thing or something.
Aye, but then obviously when he came close at the camera, I was like, fuck, that's Mickey Maynard, what the fuck? And then it was only afterwards already. He didn't even, Dana White didn't do the post-fight at press conference either.
Did he not?
No, apparently.
I
haven't seen it. I just heard that he patched it.
It'll be interesting to see if he is champion. That's the thing. I think it'll be interesting to see if he stays with the company or he moves on or he goes elsewhere.
the whole money thing, right? The whole money thing is a very, very sore subject with UFC, MMA in general. Well, maybe not MMA in general, because I think PFL are obviously paying their people well enough. But you look at the payouts, right? The salaries or the payouts from the thing. And Ngannou earned almost the same as Gann. Now, normally I would be like, yeah, that's the way it should be. But I don't know it's necessarily should. It should be. Gann's been in the UFC, what, 1.5, 2 years? Ngannou's been there for 4, 5 years, worked hard. And he's getting paid almost the same money. I think from my point of view, if I was Ngannou, I'd be like, wait a minute, mate. Like, do you know what I mean?
I think there's no doubt. If you're the, let's be, I compare it to boxing, right? I know that sounds stupid because the money in boxing is fucking ridiculous, and these guys are all basically businesses themselves. They're not fighting for a business. But if you still take it as a, as you think about maybe a ratio of the values, the heavyweights, apart from Paulo Picanello in boxing, the heavyweights are probably the best paid fighters within. Because it's heavyweight boxing, it's heavyweights. Everybody wants to see the big guys go at it. And let's be honest, usually the biggest buzz, unless there's a character in it, is around the heavyweight championship fights. Like a McGregor's in the fight or something like that, or a Masvidal's in a fight, the title fights. Maybe there's a wee bit more buzz about it, so there's got to be more money about it. There's got to be more pay-per-view money, so that'll maybe get shared to the fighters and maybe they'll get paid more. But any of the fighters, one set of fighters who should be getting paid more than anybody else, and it happened to Saturday night, to be fair. You look at what the flyweights get paid, it should be the heavyweights getting probably paid the most money, because they're the ones that everybody wants to see at the end of the day.
I'm okay with them getting paid the most money, but it's more just the fact that Ngannou was almost the same as Gann, which I think from Ngannou's point of view, he's probably like, well, hold on a minute, that's really, I'm the champ. Yeah. And it was only 100,000.
It all depends, because Ngannou can have signed a contract 2 years ago. Yeah. But that's Zaha's his contract. Whereas Gann can have signed a contract 3 months ago.
Yeah, I know. I understand that, but I do get it. But it's just,
I agree with you, it's a strange one. But I suppose if you're an interim champion as well, you're technically a champion, you're going to get paid more money.
Yeah, no, true. I think the whole thing with Ngannou now with UFC is very interesting, because it's going to depend. Although, did you hear, he can't actually leave.
I said, if you're champion, you've got to stay for a year or something like that.
Yeah, there's a clause in the contract. If you're a champion, the UFC can extend your contract for a year. So Ngannou won't be going anywhere, I don't think.
No.
I don't think he will. I think they will renegotiate, and I think it probably will include some sort of boxing promotion. I guess that's what it's about. I don't even think Dana White minds the fact of Ngannou getting into boxing. I think it's all about, obviously, it's always all about money. So Dana White's probably like, aye, cool, we'll help you promote the boxing, but I want X percent. And then guys went, no, you can fuck off. And I bet you that's just basically it, mate. And it'll come down to money. And to be honest with you, right, I'm always of the opinion, like, if you don't want to, like, same with football teams, right? You hear that stuff, like, if you hear, like, murmurings, like, a player doesn't, like, there's wrestlers in the dressing room causing grief. Say, if you don't want to be here, there's a door, matey. Off you fuck. Don't even bother. I think I'd be the same with Ngannou. I know, I get it. Ngannou's the baddest man on the planet. He's a big draw. He's probably one of the biggest draws in the sport just now. But at the end of the day, see if he's going to cause grief and it's causing hassle, it's causing all this drama. What's the harm in letting him go?
It's a difficult one, Begani, because like I said, as the biggest, baddest man on the planet as such, if it has to do with maybe fighter money more than it is to do with the boxing side of things, then to be honest, it's getting to that stage, you've got to pay that man. You've got a full polycontinent looking at him. He's one of the most famous men to come out of Africa at this moment in time, because he's the biggest man on the planet. If you go to Africa, you can sell a 60,000-70,000 seater stadium probably with Ngannou, if you can make that happen.
Easy.
So the money, I don't think the money to pay him what he wants is probably an issue. I think they probably could sort that in a certain way.
Yep.
If the boxing's an issue, but maybe the boxing's part of it, is that Dana wants a fee. Because Dana want a fee, because he is his fighter. If he gets into a boxing ring, if he signs a contract with Ngannou and goes, right, that's fine, we'll let you box, but you can go in against, say, goes in against Tyson Fury. Tyson Fury, let's be honest, the boxing ring's going to fucking tear his head off. Yeah. Just simple as.
Yep.
But if he was to get injured in that fight and possibly couldn't fight ever again, and then the amount of money the UFC, it's a very difficult one from Dana's side of things and from Ngannou, because Ngannou wants what he thinks he's worth. And to be honest, after putting on a performance like that on Saturday night, if he does that again, then if he goes maybe, because if he stays, obviously, so you've got a year's, he's got a year's, probably a year's extension now, kind of automatic thing in his contract that he's got no option. So you'd imagine Stipe fights next.
Yeah.
There's no doubt, probably Stipe fight, the rematch has got to happen. Fight's number three, so that's got to happen. Then you're still, I know he said he was done with the John Jones fight, but maybe if he does get offered enough money, that will happen.
John Jones isn't going to fight a heavyweight. That's a different conversation.
Well, that we'll see about that. So there's a couple of fights that have been made, and possibly even a rematch against Gann at some point down the line. So there's fights to be made, there's money to be made. I think, as you say, if he's there for another year, but things, then we'll just need to wait and see how what happens and see how things play out, to be honest.
Yeah,
it's one man having is a bit mental.
It's just the whole situation's just fucked, to be honest, mate. Like, it's not as if it's a shock. Like, if we'd done a show last week, we would have been having the same conversation, because it would have been a case of this is a scenario that could happen if Gannu wins. So yeah, fair enough. But yeah, let's move on, because I mean, I kind of go over how good the two of these guys are, mate. Right, back in the day, we used to always talk about levels. It's not something that's come up recently in conversation between you and I on the podcast, but we always used to talk about levels and how some guys just can't reach levels, and how you can watch two people and just know how good they are. These two guys, honestly, for me, I think both of these guys beat Mighty Mouse. I honestly think both of these guys beat Mighty Mouse in his prime, mate. Honestly, I think these guys are just totally and utterly different class. The standard is so high. And I know you could say, oh, it's easy to say that because it was a close fight. But genuinely, mate, I just don't see... I just think they're different. They're different gravy, the two of them.
I think what's helped with that is they've kind of forced each other to do that. I think having three fights, you've got to get better. You've got to improve. If you want to beat the other guy, obviously you've seen... Figueredo's went away and worked with Cejudo and stuff like that, and worked with that kind of side of the team. And obviously you can see he was actually a better fighter again, because he was more, what's the word I'm looking for? Patient with his, with his striking, and when he done it and he picked his moments, and fuck man, what did he must have knocked Breno down about what, 4 or 5 times during the full fight?
Probably even more than that.
Aye, so he knocked Moreno good a few times, don't get me wrong. Moreno had a fucking few belters on Figueredo as well, and it was such a close fight, and it was tremendous. It was a sensational fight. As you say, the skill level, I think that's, you can maybe get absolutely sensational fights, but the skill level they fought of to create a fight that good and to do it at that higher level was sensational. You look back now and you think they were just, it looked like they were going to do away with the flyweights, and you've got guys like these fighting title fights. But it hit co-main and pay-per-views, but like,
I think that's why it's
sensational.
So good that Dana White obviously stuck it out with the flyweights, because I mean, it was, if you are like, well, I was going to say, if you're rating that right as a fight, let's say we start rating good fights out of 5 stars, what would you give it?
4.5 or out of 10,
9 out of 10.
9 out of 10. So the only thing that's missing for me was a finish in the 5th round or something like that.
Okay. Just interested. That's all.
But it was sensational, mate. Obviously, there's a lot of discussion regarding whether Figgy actually won the fight. I think it was
I
think it seems to be a bit of a split, and it's nearly 50-50, to be honest. I think I was sitting at the end of the fight going, well, if you give it to Figgy, I'm not going to argue. If you give it to Moreno, I'm not going to argue.
No, like, I didn't think it was, like, horrendously bad, right? But I thought Moreno won. Simple as that. That's just my opinion. I thought Moreno won.
I think I never gave it to Figgy. Just very just.
Mm.
But it was so tight. Even, what I looked on, was it MMA? That MMA decisions that we use now and again, obviously, for seeing scorecards and stuff, Alex is really good. It looks like nearly 50-50 on there for roughly how the guys, the media, thought the kind of fight went on there. So you see how close it was.
It definitely was close, mate. Like, it 100% was close. I just thought Moreno edged it. But listen, if it went Moreno's way, I'd have been happy because I scored it. It went Figgy's way, fine, do you know what I mean? But I mean, that's totally like, this is one of these things, right? Obviously, you want to see these guys now fighting again. I presume that's what everybody will want to see, right?
We need the fourth fight.
Think so?
I think we need the fourth fight, mate. It's literally with a draw, a Moreno one, a Figueiredo one. Like, you can't leave it like that. You can't just, what does Moreno do? What does literally Moreno do at this moment in time?
Yeah.
Literally, the winner, Askar Askarov versus Kai Kara France, is literally probably sitting there waiting for your title shot.
Yeah.
So, Moreno's not going to go back and fight, but somebody three or four places back. Why should he? As far as he's concerned, he won the fight. That's what he said himself. He thought he'd only worth to win the fight. So, you've got to make the fourth fight. You've got to get a decisive winner of the trilogy, as such, or quadrilogy. And obviously, no fight. Was it nobody's ever fought in and did four times? Is that correct? There's no fighters ever fought four times over in the UFC.
So, well, listen, I wouldn't have any issue seeing it, to be honest. I mean, I think it's they're so good together, the two of them, that I think it just has to kind of happen, to be honest, mate. I just don't know. Like, I feel as if a lot of people might be like, oh, them fighting each other. And they've only fought each other. They've been in a row as well. It's the first trilogy that's been fought in a row.
But there was obvious reasons at the time for doing that, because we had the draw straight away, so we had to make sure we got a winner there. And let's be honest, probably after Moreno beat Figueiredo in the second fight, there was probably no outstanding candidate to really go and fight Moreno.
No.
You possibly could have put Askarov in there. Maybe he was just about ready for that. But he was only one, whereas Figueiredo probably still had a case to go, well, we drew the first fight, give me another shot, I want another shot. Yeah. And he got his other shot. So, I think if the first one had ended in a draw, maybe Figueiredo would win the first one. And obviously, you're not going to get the fourth fight, but just because that first one ended in a draw, I think we've got to have number four, to be honest. I'd happily have them fight every month. If it means just swap the flyweight title back and forth every month, I'm fucking happy with that. I could have given a shiny shit, to be honest.
What do you think was better, the first one or the third one?
I think they were different. I think probably the first one was a bit more of a scrap as such. A bit more of a, not a barroom brawl, but you know that kind of way. It was just a bit more of a fight. That was a lot more technical on Saturday night. There was a lot more technical aspects of certain things on Saturday night. And the knockdowns and stuff like that were more planned and were more calculated than probably were the first time around and stuff like that. But the two of them were sensational, mate. We know that for different things. The two of them fights were absolutely sensational. And then you had a sensational performance in between the two of them when Moreno just went out and steamrolled Figgy in the end. Aye. So, I guess number four. I'm up for four. I'm up for it. I'm there. I'll pay for it.
Aye, but we don't, so it's all good.
Yes, exactly. So,
want to run through the rest or some of it?
I'll run through a few things.
Like what?
It's weird that you get it. Was, I think that's probably another reason why you can maybe say it was such a non-pay-per-view. Don't get me wrong, Michel Pereira versus Andre Filao was a pretty good fight.
Pereira smashed him.
Eventually.
A wee bit slow to start, but smashed him.
Eventually smashed him. He tore him. He showed a bit of class, I think, Pereira. Again, he showed a bit of patience and a bit of fight IQ and a wee bit more technical know-how in the end.
Still a fucking maniac because he did that bicycle. Mate, I like watching Pereira. That's why I think, remember when I said it on things I'd like to see? Aye. I'd love to see him fight Ian Garry. I think it would be absolutely mental, man.
It would be a class fight, to be fair. It would be absolutely fucking mental. It would be interesting to see if that fight fucking happened, how it would fucking go, because it would be absolutely fucking mental. What about Nurmagomedov? How far away is he?
I mean, like, he's not ranked yet, I don't think. So,
no, but beating Cody Stamen, who was ranked, so you'd imagine a ranked fighter is next in line.
Aye, you would think he's just probably just outside. To be honest,
I think the guys in that bantamweight division about a fight just now.
I know. Well, Evloev was supposed to fight against Topuria on Saturday, and then he got pulled, and then Topuria got pulled.
That's the last fight that's got to be remade for me, anyway.
Aye, well, I mean, the fight that, I mean, Charles Jourdan versus Ilia Topuria was a class fight as well to look at. Also, because I love Charles Jourdan. So, but yeah, I think Ovalov. But you've got Shane Burgos, who hasn't got a fight in that in there in the bottom of the division. But above that, everybody else is kind of booked
that's
to fight.
Feathers,
what?
That's Feathers.
Oh fuck! Sorry, is it? I clicked on Bantams. Oh fuck! I knew something wasn't right there. I was like, these names don't ring a bell me. Right,
I see. I know that fight was supposed to have on Saturday. I was wondering where you were going. There's plenty of guys in there. I think you're probably looking. There's a few guys maybe looking backwards. Like, say, your Pedro Munoz's, Frank Edgar, stuff like that. Whether or not he would fight any of the guys like that, I don't know. Kind of legends, basically. And he could be a legend killer. Maybe that's the kind of thing we're looking for him to do. Because there's guys in there, like some Marlon Vera and Dishashvili and O'Malley and Simon, they're probably all looking up the way more than anything else. They're not going to be looking back the way. They don't want to go and fight a killer on them again, let's be honest.
A Sunshine or Ricky Simon's probably not a bad shout because they've just fought each other. Either one of they two.
What, would you take the fight if you were Simon?
I think Ricky Simon would take the fight, to be fair. Ricky Simon would fight anybody. I see your point, but he's only 13. A Sunshine then? A Sunshine's maybe the fight to make?
Possibly. I think there's definitely, I think it's got to be a kind of legend next. I think the three guys that are on losses, Munoz, Edgar, and Sunshine, maybe one of the three, give them to Nurmagomedov and let them fucking tear them apart, basically. That's what's going to happen. Feed them. Feed the animal that is Nurmagomedov.
Yeah, it was a class submission, mate.
Yeah, it was fucking, did that quickly as well, man. It was just fucking mental. Unbelievable.
It's nuts, man. Nuts.
Absolutely unbelievable.
What about was he Venezuelan? Is that what he was?
Ecuadorian.
Was it Ecuadorian? I couldn't remember.
The Vera kind of, what'd you call it? The Vera, talk about Vera, basically, because obviously he's Ecuadorian as well.
Aye,
mate, he looks fucking good, doesn't he? He looks sharp as anything. Don't get me wrong, I think he got clipped a couple of times.
But he's sure they can handle it, though.
Yeah, definitely, because Trevin Gill's fucking hits, do you know what I mean? And I didn't even think about the fact that he was coming down for 185.
Aye, and he used to fight it light heavy.
Aye, I forgot about that. I didn't even think about that before the...
I think
he looked good at 170 before. He actually physically looked pretty good.
He looked pretty good. I think this boy Morales could be something. I think he surely could take a punch. At 22-year-old, by the way, to be able to take a punch like that is pretty special. And then
13-0, mate. 13-0 at 22-year-old.
I know. And then smashed him. Been interesting to watch him. He looked the part. You know what I mean? Like, you always see fighters look like, you know, there's a certain way fighters should look. He looked the part. Do you know what I mean?
Definitely. He's definitely one to keep an eye on anyway going forward, without doubt.
Absolutely. Do you know who really impressed me?
Hit me.
Victor Henry.
Mate, we're talking about that's been one of the best debut performances ever, and I cannot argue with that for a second.
Because Barcelos, although a shit record and hasn't maybe had the best time recently, I think he's only fought like once in a year or something like that. Like, he only fought once last year. He's only fought basically, that was his second fight since November 2020, so it's not a lot, and he lost to Valiev.
That's not almost a bad loss, it was a fight in an eight contender as well, a fight in an eight winner as well, so it's not as
So, like, Barcelos is a fighter, mate, do you know what I mean? He's a legit, kind of, like, an absolute dog, like, to fight, and I think Victor Henry really, do you know what I loved about Henry, man? I wasn't sure about him first round, but he just was so patient, and he just was so assured. Like, nothing fazed him. Barcelos cracked him a couple of times, and Joe Rogan did his Joe Rogan, oh! And then I'm like, oh, what happened? And then Victor Henry's like, no, even flinched. And you're like, well, what actually happened? You know, you're
brilliant. That's like, we're talking about obviously how good Barcelos is. He put Nurmagomedov not that long ago. And we're talking about now how good Victor Henry was against Barcelos. It just shows you how good he probably was, considering how we've just been raving about Nurmagomedov. Mate, it's mental. Absolutely fucking mental. A couple of good finishes on this as well, man. Favola, man, steamroller Favola just fucking went out and fucking.
Oh, I mean, he did his name. He literally lived out his name. He steamrolled the bastard.
He kept getting up. How did he keep getting up? I don't understand how Valdez just wouldn't just.
To be fair, that probably should have been stopped a bit earlier.
Yeah, I was surprised as well. I thought it should have stopped a wee bit earlier. I think it was especially the one where Valdez kind of flopped on his knees a wee bit.
It did get stopped at like 2 seconds later for that, but
it stopped at that point, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some cracking finishes. Demopolis as well, man, that was considering
lucky girl.
Yeah, well, she get fucking nearly knocked out next week, and she's fucking come back and get a win there. That was fucking mental that she actually done that. So fair play to her, because that was fucking mental, mate. But it was a good wee card, man. There was some decent stuff on it, but
yeah. I like the Aussie or was he New Zealand?
Maddalena.
I think I thought he was brilliant, man. I thought he looked really good.
He
looked good. Very good performance. Aussie, he was really good as well. As I said at the start, I didn't have a big feel of a totally lost my train of thought there, mate. Totally lost my train of thought.
I think there was just one fight missing for that main card. I think if you'd put another kind of nearly a superstar into that main card, maybe had Michelle Pereira headlining like the prelims or something like that, you'd have had something special in your hands.
A non title fight, but like a number one contendership, like a, for example, something like what would have been like a Dariush Makhachev or something like that, would have probably just, that type of fight would just probably
that have taken like Gaethje Chandler back in November, that kind of level of fight.
Something like that, it's that kind of fight just to kind of maybe lift it. But listen, it was great, it was a great night, it was a good mix of good decisions, good performances. Disappointed with a couple of them, was disappointed with UK. But as I say, there was some standout forms. Victor Henry, I thought, was brilliant, and Maddalena was brilliant. I think Henry was definitely my performance of the night for me, because I just thought, on your debut, fighting a guy like that and looking completely and utterly at ease, and as if he's not out of place at all, I think that speaks loads for him, mate, to be honest.
100%, mate. I am. As he said, he said himself, he's like 34. He's only gone in probably one or two shots, that even gone very far in the UFC. So he's got to take his chance while he's here. So it'll be interesting to watch Victor Henry going forward. Man, look forward to seeing him again.
Right. Okay then. Seeing as that is that wrapped up. Obviously, there's no UFC this weekend, guys.
Word on Cater, or do you want to leave?
We wanted to do a bit on Cater because we missed Cater last week. Best MMA fighter ever.
Mate, I think the week before, obviously, we were talking about Chikadze going in against Volkanovski and stuff like that, and I don't think we hardly ever mentioned Cater just in general talking and conversation. It was all about Chikadze. Fucking well done, Calvin Cater, to come back after that absolute mauling that he got off Max Holloway and come back and put a performance like that against a guy who, let's be honest, is fighting to get a world championship title fight. It was just, mate, sensational. Sensational for Calvin Cater. That's up for performance of the year already for me.
Yes, I agree. And I also think a lot of that, I think Giga struggling with that was because Giga was looking past him, which I think is shite. I think that was disrespectful, I suppose you could say. To Cater, because he was looking past him. But Calvin Cater, man, the guy's just so durable. It's actually ridiculous. Ridiculous.
He takes so much damage, but it doesn't matter. He keeps walking forward. The way he kept walking forward against fucking Chikadze, he was just outstanding, man. Honestly. I had to mention it in this week's show, because it was too good a performance not to totally.
He's never been knocked out.
I'm not surprised.
You look at the guys he got beat by, right? He got beat by Moicano in 2018. Moicano was the guy in 2018, remember? Because he fought Ortega, and that was pretty much like a number one contendership almost.
Yep.
And then he got beat by Zabit in 2019. And then obviously, his defeat to Max. You know, so getting beat by those three guys, Moicano was a thing. Zabit was a thing, and Max Holloway is the thing. So, he's an absolute killer, man. He's so overlooked. I'd love to see him fight Volkanovski.
I'd be interested to see Volkanovski even finish him, just get him out of there, but I'd be surprised, because, as I said, nobody's fucking...
If Max Holloway can't box Cater to a fish finish, Volkanovski can't.
Not a fucking chance, my man. Not a chance.
Anyway, a wee special mention for Calvin Cater, because he deserves it. What do you want to do first, Eagle or Bellator?
Go Eagle, get Eagle out of the way in the nicest possible way.
Eagle FC, obviously owned by Khabib or Khabib, making its US debut.
Have you seen the poster?
Is the poster not on Topology?
Yeah, I'm just thinking, but how much is it a UFC poster?
Ah, come on, UFC must have something going on with this.
Must have, mate. It's got to be. It's got to be. There's got to be a thing there, man. 100%. Because even the wee black bit in the middle just looks like a UFC fucking wee black bit in the middle. See up the top.
Yeah, because I'm sure that Rashad is still employed by the UFC, is he not? As like a ambassador or an analyst or something. So
there's a lot of analysts. So.
Yeah. Listen, I've got no problem with that, mate. I've got no problem with it at all. I say there's some names on this. A guy we've always loved, and it's unfortunately never ever sat for Ray Borg. It's never ever sat up for him. You know, they say, like, when you get that on that half volley, mate, it never sits up nice. I feel
that's
like
it's water every Sunday, didn't I, mate? That was a fucking beauty.
I wasn't watching. I think Ray Borg's just never had the luck, man. The Robert the Green, it's such a name. And obviously, his poor kid had loads of health issues, and it's just been so difficult for Ray. And I really hope, man, because I love Ray Borg. I love his style. He's like a wee... he's probably got the most accurate nickname of any MMA fighter. The Taz Mexican Devil, that's exactly what he's like. He's relentless. It's so... I really hope
he's... If he can do something, this could be FC thing, or whatever it's called. What's it called? No, I can't remember. Eagle FC.
Khabib FC.
There's no reason why he cannot make it back to the UFC at some point. Mate. The guy's got the skill level and the technical aspects to do that. And I really hope he goes on and puts a performance this weekend and maybe shows that he's turned things around and maybe...
I'd love to see him win a belt somewhere. I know he was fighting at Brave for a bit. Something like that. Win a Brave belt. Win a EFC belt. Eagle FC. Win a PFL or an LFA belt or something. Like, go and win a belt and show people how good you actually are. Because, I mean... He's sensational, mate, and I'm so hopeful he will come back stronger from it. But I say there is some names on this that stick out, or some of them don't. Obviously, Jorgen De Castro, who's ex-UFC. The one for me that's a shock is Loic Radzimov. We're talking about him before the show, the boy who beat in the lightweight PFL final like 6 months ago.
Yeah, I guess it wasn't even that a couple of months, 3 months ago, wasn't it? I'd be a bit surprised to see him there. He's obviously decided maybe he thinks this is maybe he wants in the UFC, maybe he thinks there's a better path going this way than he does in the PFL.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's his thought process regarding it. Because you'd imagine you're getting, he'd have been getting decent money at the PFL, you'd have thought.
Aye, definitely. Obviously, Rashad Evans on this card, which is class. Sergey Karatonov, I was getting confused. I thought Sergey Karatonov was well, I seen him UFC, but I think it was Bellator. He got beat by Congo, didn't he?
Yeah, he beat by Congo in August last year.
I thought I knew recognised him. I presumed it was UFC because that's what we watch more of the time. But yeah, listen, it looks good, man. I'm chuffed for Khabib. It's obviously he's making moves and he's making, you know, waves and stuff like that, and it's good. So hopefully it works out for him. And obviously you've got the big fight coming up, whatever that is, between Kevin Lee and Diego Sanchez.
Yeah.
Was coming up. So that's another big story for him, a big deal for him. So here's hoping it goes well. And
is that still on Fight Pass? Do you know? Is there anything on a Fight Pass, or is it anything?
I don't know, mate. I've not heard anything about it being available on Fight Pass. None of his other stuff's ever been on Fight Pass, so I don't know. I don't think so.
I'll need to have a wee scout about, so we can figure out how we watch it. There's a couple of fights in there you wouldn't mind seeing, so I'll need to have a look.
Aye, definitely.
Oh, there we go, on a poster. Watch live and free on eaglefc.com.
Oh, well, so you stay low. Wow, okay.
So it's free on eaglefc.com, so go and check it out. 6 p.m. Yeah. Eastern, so that'd be 11 o'clock Friday night.
11 o'clock Friday night, might see the first couple of fights.
Yeah, might see. I'd imagine that'll be the main card starting maybe Friday night, so 11 o'clock, I don't know.
Absolutely.
Wait and see.
Alrighty. Right, Bellator this weekend. Headlined by Ryan Bader versus Valentin Moldovsky for the heavyweight championship of the world.
I feel like it's a month since we've seen Bellator. I've totally kind of
yeah, it's been a while. Moldowski smashes him, by the way.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Something tells me Ryan Bader's on that other side of that hill, and it's not a fucking slow decline. It's a fucking, it's a sharp one.
I seen something that made me think about our idea for senior. What sport was it? Senior darts.
What is supposed to be a senior championship?
I know, but they've got a senior champion. I noticed that. I seen something that Phil Taylor drawn in the darts, and I was like, Phil Taylor retired years ago. What he's talking about? And I clicked on it, it's like a senior. I was like, honestly, there's a market, mate. There's a market for a senior MMA fighting championship. I'm telling you.
Wait, do you look at Moldovsky's last three fights, and you probably see he's fucking in it already. The last four fights, Tim Johnson, Roy Nelson, maybe not Javi Ayala, but Linton Vassell as well. He's fucking in that. He's fighting there.
I reckon he might end up in the UFC, that boy.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. To be honest, he's a fucking huge boy.
There's some good fights on this card, by the way. Like, I mean, you've got Benson Henderson, who's always class, fighting a guy who's got one loss, which will be fun. You've got Henry Corrales, who's brilliant, and Aiden Lee, who's, that's a big step up for Aiden Lee, so that's good. Saba Hamasi, who's always exciting to watch.
Caldwell Barzola is a crying fight, by the way.
I was just getting to Darren Caldwell versus Enrique Barzola is nuts. Did Enrique Barzola fight UFC?
I feel as if
I recognise that name and all.
I did. Because he last had a draw, a majority draw with Yanni Yaya. This is actually his Bellator debut.
Yeah. Saad Awad, another name that you just know. So there's loads of stuff on this, mate, that could actually make this a decent card. I think Bellator are slowly becoming, like, they're putting fights together that are good fights rather than just guys who are names. You know, we always say, like, good fights, good promotions will put on good fights. Cage Warriors don't put on bad fights. It's always matched up really well. I feel as if, you know, Bellator are slowly edging towards that. There's a lot of good fights on this card.
Definitely. I mean, there's three or four guys on this card who could easily go and fight for a championship very, very soon, possibly. So you've definitely got a certain level of fighter on the card, and it's a wee bit deeper than possibly other cards we've seen in the past. You've actually probably got a really good headliner of the prelims as such. It's probably one thing you don't get very often with Bellator. But if you're looking at Darren Caldwell versus Enrique Barzola as a headline, your prelims, that's a pretty fucking good fight for me.
Yeah. That's a good way to end the prelims, mate, definitely.
That's a good show of depth and how your depth is going. And then you go into the kind of main card, and it's a decent main card, obviously.
And it's four class fights there, mate.
I don't expect much out of Bader. I don't know why. I think he's obviously, he was in a 205 Grand Prix, wasn't he? Because he was a champion, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And he lost that, and I don't know why. I've got a feeling about Bader that might just not be going very well, but we'll wait and see what happens. Big Baldovsky is a fucking animal, an absolute beast of a human being, and I'm expecting him to kind of run fucking through him, to be honest.
Yeah, me too.
Too big and too strong, I think.
That's what I think as well, because Bader, I don't think Bader's naturally a heavyweight, mate, so I think he'll struggle.
No, he's a light heavyweight, he's a heavy light heavyweight, that's what he is. So.
Yeah. Alrighty. Right, okay, moving swiftly on, it is now time for the news.
Actually, obviously, we've been off a couple of weeks, so a few bits and pieces to throw out there as such, shall we say.
Yes.
Biggest one, probably, that I've heard recently, in fact, it was only just announced, Arnold Allen will fight Dan Hooker at UFC London.
I know, I seen that guy, and I was on Twitter before we started, and I've literally just seen it.
I get announced literally about 2 hours ago, so, wow. Considering that is not the headliner, it is fucking sensational. Headliner obviously will be, if you don't know already, Alexander Volkov versus Tom Aspinall, another fucking belter of a fight,
mate. I know we have plans to go, guys, right? Obviously tickets don't go on sale yet, so there is plans for the Inside the Cage guys to go. Honestly, I know you and I, well, we've been at a few UFC events. I think this will be our fourth, I think. Copenhagen, Glasgow, London last time, yeah, 24. This is about our fourth event, right? And we always say, what, in for the very first fight? See, if I literally made it in just to watch day two, I think I'd be okay with that.
No. Have you seen the card?
I'm only kidding. I was just trying to big up those fights, mate. I've not seen the rest of the card.
No, I don't give a fuck, mate. Honestly, that fucking card is off the fucking chain already. I actually can't believe how good this card is. There's one thing that's missing on it.
Mm-hmm.
A Scot. Any Scot. I don't actually care what Scot. Just a Scot.
I reckon, well, there's only one. One's booked to fight already. She's fighting soon, and she's fighting Grasso.
Yeah, Joanne Woods fighting Alexa Grasso soon, yep. Could be Paul Craig, isn't it? Imagine Paul Craig putting Paul Craig on that main card as well.
I imagine Paul Craig, oh, mate. Oh, no, don't do it.
Gus.
What if they remade Paul Craig versus Gus?
It probably all depends if Gus will be ready and things. And I imagine Paul Craig will go, yes, please, that'll do for me.
Oh, my God, man.
Let's see if he put on his Instagram the other day, because it said London Calling. So I'm taking it, he's got something there, ready, sitting. And it's just basically a case of announcing it.
See if they are, oh, mate. Oh, my God, I can't cope with the excitement of that, man. I can't see the
video that's what I'm telling people, but Scott's probably... Aye, he's about to come in his pants, I think. If that mate made.
Wow, really? You really had to go there?
I'd still love the tone. Aye, mental, mate. If that happens, that would be fucking mental. But that card is just looking off the chain. I'd love a couple of Scots on it. I don't even get a couple, because I don't know what's happening with Danny Henry. He seems like he's... Obviously, Joanne Woods fighting, so... Fuck knows.
Unless they somehow manage to get Casey on it, but I don't know how that would work, because she's also based in the US now as well, so I don't know how that would work. And it's probably a bit quick.
Yeah, I kind of see them putting Casey on it, to be honest.
Casey's fighting in like 2 weeks, as you know. She's fighting Moda Ferry, man. What am I talking about?
Oh, I'm so sure. So that's not happening. So I don't know what other Scott they would get on there. Big Paul Craig's probably the main one anyway we've got to look at, making sure we've got on the card. I can't actually think of Scott's. We've only got four left. We've only really got the four now. So Stevie left.
Just the four. Yeah.
Is Danny still signed to him, but obviously hasn't he fought for long enough?
Danny's not fought since God knows when.
Okay, Joanne Wood and then fucking
Casey.
So aye. Anyway, so hopefully Big Paul Craig will be on there and give us a bit of Scottish interest, so we don't look fucking stupid with our Scotland flags and there's no Scottish fucking fighters on it.
You need to dig that out. You need to find that.
I know exactly about this.
You tell me you didn't, you're lying.
Plus I didn't like you. Anyway, let's carry on with the news, because we're fucking... Yes. Kevin Holland books a welterweight debut versus Alex Oliveira.
Wow.
What?
I seen that fight, I didn't even notice that it was... I didn't even notice that Kevin Holland had... Has Kevin Holland not fought a welterweight before?
No, that's his first fight at welterweight. I can't believe he's fighting at welterweight.
Yeah, he's a big laddie for welterweight, man, definitely. He's
fucking huge, mate. I'm so surprised that's happening, to be honest, because I think that's interesting to see if he makes weight. That's his first fight of the fucking week. No, I mean, fighting fucking a fun fight. Yeah,
he has fought at welterweight.
Yeah, he did he?
But not in the UFC, I don't think.
Okay, sorry, I missed it, the word UFC debut.
All right, calm down.
I'm calm, mate. How are you?
Yeah. He's fought at Wilter before. Way back in the day. Against Curtis Melander. So, yeah. Yeah, he has fought it, so that'll maybe... It was still like 5 years ago, so it's still a big trek for him trying to get down to that weight, I'd imagine.
Yeah, especially as you get older. It's one of these things that gets harder as you get older, isn't it? So.
Yeah, of course.
We're official for Volkanovski Zombie.
Buzzing.
Obviously, after Chikadze probably getting smashed, that was definitely not going to happen, that fight. So, Volkanovski Zombie and Sterling Bianto will headline UFC 273. What have we next? Just announced it already, Joanne Wood versus Alexa Grasso. That one got announced 10 days ago. We've got a one championship.
Oh.
DJ will make his return on the March 26th
against
it's for the title, isn't it? No, I don't think so. Oh no, it's a special rules fight.
Oh, aye.
Against Rod Tang. Aye, Rod Tang. I'm trying that same one. I'm happy if it's Rod Tang, to be honest.
Oh, brilliant, mate, brilliant.
Also expected to be on that card, Eddie Alvarez, Shinji Aoki, Sage Northcutt. So it's also expected to be the first event with full fan attendance since COVID started.
Wow, man.
So, I kind of mental. Also on that will be Angela Lee defending an atomweight title belt against Stamp Vertex.
That'll be great.
And Adriano Moraes defending his flyweight title against Yuya Wakamatsu.
Well done.
I'm quite happy with that. I'm fucking delighted. So, aye. If you want any details on the Johnson Specials fight, it'll be 4 3-minute rounds.
Right.
Alternating between Muay Thai and MMA. Beginning with Muay Thai in round one, and then obviously going as it goes. Wear 4 ounce gloves as well, so that'd be interesting. You'd imagine, I wouldn't surprise me if Johnson gets knocked out there for some reason.
Muay Thai with 4 ounce gloves?
Yeah, that's my point. That seems a bit fucking mental.
That sounds like a broken hand to me.
Yeah, that as well. Also, we've got Bibiano Fernandez versus John Lineker, one tied championship title fight, rescheduled for February 11th. So that's only a couple of weeks ago now. So
I'm absolutely buzzing for that, by the way. I don't know what I seen that a while ago, and I was so excited for that fight.
Mate, fucking belter, absolute beauty of a fight. Cannot wait for that. It should be good fun. Mackenzie Dern versus Tisha Torres. Decent wee battle, 273, UFC 273. That's likely to be for... also 273, Gastelum versus Nurzuddin Imamov, which I think is a pretty decent fight as well. That should be good. Mm-hmm. Also, on fuck's sake, doing a lot of 273, Rosenstrike versus Tabura, which, I don't know. It's alright. It's alright, it's nothing special. Caitlin Chookagian, the fighter we love to hate, has hit free agency.
She left?
After revealing UFC declined to offer a new contract.
Oh, that's savage.
So she's hoping still to get a contract, but aye. So it could be interesting to see what happens there, if she's actually going to get re-signed. But at this moment in time, she is a free agent, so she literally could sign anywhere she wants.
She'd probably win a belt at every other organisation on the planet, so...
No, she can't. Well, she's not paying the judges off, is she? So I had to go there. I'm sorry. MVP will get his title shot. May 13th.
Amazon's going to melt him.
Oh, mate. I actually cannot wait. I kind of like MVP. I'm not a massive fan, but I kind of like him just because his style is kind of weird and mental. But I think he's going to get melted. Honestly, I think he's just going to get fucking torn a new one.
Yeah.
Amosov's fucking different gravy, mate. Amosov is fucking tremendous.
He's just a different level, mate, completely.
Aye. Like, he's pound for pound arguably the best in Bellator.
Aye. Him and AJ, probably close.
Yeah. So, aye. Good luck, MVP, because you're going to fucking need that. Norma Devont versus Macy Shayson was announced as well. What else do we have? Big Glover versus Bigger Yuri.
It got announced?
UFC 274. Well, it's in the works for UFC 274. So as soon as these things get kind of in the works, it's fucking going to happen, isn't it? Let's be honest.
It's just far away.
It's only May, mate. It's only like 3 months, really.
Mate, it's like halfway through the year.
Fuck it. It'll happen. You could give Glover time to fucking recover for his last fight. He's an old man, remember?
Imagine if he beat Prochaska.
Mate. You should just retire at that point because...
You're never going to top that.
No, because the man's fucking mental and he's an absolute savage. And if you beat him, then fair play to you, man, honestly.
I'm just parring things out in my head, right? Yuri takes Glover's head off. And then they make Yuri Prochaska versus Alexander Rakic on the Christmas card for the light heavyweight belt. Oh my god.
Why? What is it with you and Rakic?
I just think he's the next one coming up, mate. What's that?
Okay.
Him and Ankalaev.
Okay. Fair enough. Aye, so 274 for that, start of May. What else have we got? Macy Barber, Montana De La Rosa, I think that should be a fun fight.
Yes, it will.
In more ways than one, so that's April 23rd, so that should be good. And the only other thing I have is the full card for UFC 271, if you're interested, and I actually can't believe how good that is.
The full card has been announced, finished, signed off.
Yep, so obviously Adesanya Whitaker's headlining it. Co-main, Lewis versus Tai Tuivasa. Also, Jared Cannonier versus Derek Brunson. Kyla Phillips, Marcelo Rojo, and Bobby Green, Nasrat Haqparast finish off the main card. It's not a bad main card.
It's just no pay-per-view material, is it really? But so, yeah.
Yeah, they're but then I'm looking at the prelims and going, we've got Casey O'Neill versus Roxanne Modafferi. Alex Hernandez versus Renato Maicano. I think it's a fucking bit of a fight.
That's on the pre-prelims.
Alex Perez versus Matt Schnell. I mean, Douglas Silva de Andrade versus Sigurd Morozov is a good fucking fight as well, mate. There's some good stuff on that. Definitely. I think I agree with you. I think there's something, just a wee bit of something missing for the main card, but yeah. Aye, that's really good, mate. So I'm looking forward to that. I think that's it. It's a lot.
Is Arlovski not fighting on that?
Yeah, I could be all expensive, you know, to be honest, but aye. He is indeed fighting on that.
Thank you. Man, right. Thank you to Mark for his news. Love it. Thank you very much. Thank you to you guys for listening. And thank you if anybody has rated us on Spotify. For some reason, it doesn't notify us. I don't know why. I haven't figured it out yet. So if you have done, thank you. If you haven't, do it now. We would very much appreciate a wee 5-star rating on the show. It would mean a lot to us, guys, if you could. Yeah, get us on the socials, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter @InsideCageMMA. Have a good week, and we will catch you next time.